Thank you for tuning in. A good friend and somebody we have not had on the radio with us for some time is about to join us. His name is Raymond Moran, but he's better known, maybe better known, as Jagtime Millionaire. That is why he is the Jagtime Millionaire. It's on the tip of my tongue what that tune was.
That's the first million seller in history.
Maple Leaf?
That's right.
That's okay. I should have gone with my gut. I thought it was Maple Leaf, and then I said, oh, I hope I'm right. I didn't know that was the first million seller.
Yeah, it took a while, but that song predates recording technology. So it sold many, many thousands of copies in sheet music.
Wow.
And by the time you could kind of actually record it faithfully, it had sold about a million copies.
That's incredible.
Kind of like set Joplin up for life.
How did you discover Ragtime?
We probably talked about it a little bit.
I'm sure we did. And I figure there's new people tuning in that are wondering.
Yeah, but I used to get these really, really into the British folk music scene from the 60s and 70s and the kind of guitar music scene in the 60s and 70s.
I remember now,
and
yeah.
So I think it started with I would pick up like Kicking Mule records and things like that, and sometimes like a tablature book would fall out. And then occasionally, you'd hear a compilation and you'd hear a mixture of original music or blues and ragtime and stuff like that. And some of it just seemed like it would be so interesting to learn. And then once I got a few under my fingers, I just had to learn a few more and learn a few more. And before I knew it, I had, you know, a set's worth together where I could just thematically just do a ragtime set if I wanted to. But I still, you know, mix in all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I do remember, and I wanted to be sure that other people learned about that too. And I think we talked a little bit about folks like Stefan Grossman, a lot of acoustic, well, a lot of finger pickers were throwing ragtime.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the music they provided, and it's really pretty infectious.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of them were European players at that time, and then not the same exact, but a slightly younger American generation picked it up after that. So the Euro guys seemed to get it really kicked off right in the early 70s, when the Sting came out and things like that.
Yeah, that was the other big, gosh. I can remember the Sting coming out, and I was probably 14 maybe. Everybody, it seemed, was learning how to play This Day God on the piano. We all wanted to be able to do that, myself included.
Yeah, the theme is just so memorable, and it's kind of – it's always been public domain, so you kind of – there were no barriers to playing it or performing it or anything like that. So a lot of guys learned it, and it's on guitar. I don't know if it's harder than it is on piano, but it's not its native instrument, that's for sure. So –
do you remember the name of the rag?
Yeah, the song's called The Entertainer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. How could I forget
that? Yeah, but
my
father-in-law calls it The Sting.
No, I just did, and I realized that's not the best name for it. And that was a big radio hit, too.
That's what I hear. You know, I wasn't around yet, but I hear that it actually topped the charts. I can't remember whose version of it.
I think it was Marvin Hamlisch.
Okay.
And it was all over the place. You know, I doubt DVE played it, but it was all over, you know, conventional top 40 radio and middle of the road.
Yeah, I always tell people that I think I heard it on The Simpsons before I ever heard it in The Sting, you know, because that would, when I was a teenager, that's what would have been.
I could see that.
And they'd go back to like little dream sequences or old-timey like fantasy sequences. And I have a friend in Kansas named Dustin whose son, Fleet, is obsessed with The Simpsons. He's like 7 years old or something. And he knew exactly which episodes had those songs. Last time I was there, I was just sitting around picking. And he's like, play that again, play that again, play that again. And like he ran and found out which episode and which season had
wow.
The Sting and Maple Leaf Rag both appeared on The Simpsons at some point.
I have a few friends with memories like that that just amaze me.
Yeah.
And Fleet's got to have that going for him too.
Yeah. Fleet's good.
I would imagine. You've got – I know you don't have anything local right away in terms of folks getting a chance to hear you live. But you're going to be heading out on a tour in April?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going up to the East Coast for just a 6-day run that's actually going to end here. I think it starts on the 14th in D.C., then playing kind of a Providence, Rhode Island, Western Mass, Boston, Mass, Philadelphia, and then I'll be back here around the 19th, I think.
Have you done that circuit before?
I've done this circuit before, but I think there's only one place on this trip that I've played before. So a bunch of new spots are always cropping up, you know. So I'm trying some new ones and hitting one kind of old faithful one in D.C., this wonderful place called Rhizome that I always play.
I've heard. I have not been there. But.
Yeah, it's a house that the guy who owns it just doesn't live in it. He just says, hey, you guys have shows here. Use the upstairs for art galleries. And until you find a forever home, which they actually funded a building that they'll move into, I think, this year. But lots of permitting and stuff like that, construction build out. So this might be the last time I play the original house.
We can learn more. I guess the best place to go is Bandcamp, Jagtime Millionaire.
Yeah, that's the best place certainly for recordings and things like that. I don't really publish. I have jagtimemillionaire.com, which I'll publish dates on, and then Instagram at Work and Worry, or at Acoustic Music Works. A lot of this stuff trickles through there.
I was going to say, you could stop by Acoustic Music Works even if you don't have an instrument to be expertly cared for, because you are quite the luthier.
Yeah, we're in a new spot now. We moved to the south side. So bought a building and in this wonderful new store.
Tell me about what you're playing this morning, the instrument.
This is actually my backup guitar. This is a Gibson J35 reissue from 2017, I think. And the only reason I have it, it's my main guitar that I had last time and I still have, is by a guy named Kevin Kopp, who is my favorite builder. But this one kind of drifted through the store on consignment from a good customer, and the price was really good. He wasn't trying to, like, really capitalize on it. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a backup guitar? Because the neck is pretty much identical to mine. It sounds quite a lot like mine. So it became the backup guitar, and it was the one I had at my house this morning. So
yeah,
it sounds... I consider them kind of interchangeable. They're a little bit different.
I want to be careful. We're public radio, so we don't do commercials, but Acoustic Music Works here in Pittsburgh is known pretty much worldwide. We tend to think, oh, yeah, it's that retail shop you can walk into. If you remember stores like Elderly Instruments, which probably...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Elderly.
But there are these stores that just have incredible reputations and receive inquiries and calls and orders. I mean, Pittsburgh, just like we talk about, it's an odd comparison, but we talk about Jerry's Records as being this incredible vinyl collection. What's happened at Acoustic Music Works is just amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of music stores in town, and we all do something a little different. So yeah. It's we all get along pretty well because there's not a lot of cross talk between brands and things like that. We don't do big factory brands like Martin and Gibson and things like that. We'll see them once in a while, but we're known for more craftsman, small shop kind of stuff, and that's what we've always been. That's our niche in this town.
Yeah, and just not only serving the community, but people beyond No2. And you've been a big part, along with Steve, of keeping really creating that wonderful asset for the city.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it going. In the new spot, we made it a point to have a kind of a bigger stage commission and things like that, so we could support more artists that were coming through on tours. And all the concert stuff is just, we don't keep any money for any of that stuff. It's basically just a community enterprise. Just pass the money along to whoever's performing.
So you're listening to Raymond, performing Raymond Moran, better known as Jagtime Millionaire. And it's time for a few more songs. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. I'm going to try to borrow Ricky's phone. She doesn't know that's what I'm saying. Because I want to try to take a little video of you so people can see you. And I don't have my phone today. You didn't understand that's what all that hand-waving meant? I'll take a short video of Raymond so you can get a look at that guitar we were just talking about. What would you like to do next?
Well, I think I told you last time that I was planning to write personalized lyrics to the song Ragtime Millionaire.
Ah!
And to bring it into the Jagtime world. And so I did, very recently. So some years later. But yeah, I wrote that, and I'll sing it for you if that's cool. Guess you're just gonna have to hear my stuff. Gonna cut 2 weeks. twin cop I trust. He's a little rag, so make a fuss. Well, all you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. I'm a Jack Time Millionaire. All you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. Some of these boys say I don't play great. They can roll back up 28 to the burbs with the circles, lanes, and the gates. I'll be right here and I'll be picking till late. All you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. I'm a Jack Time Millionaire. All you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. Every tooth in my head is solid gold. That doesn't mean I still got them all. What's left I like to brush with diamond dust. Here's another rag, don't make a fuss. Well, all you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. I'm a Jack Time Millionaire. Well, all you pretty people, take your hats off of me. Jack Time Millionaire. All you pretty people, take your hats off of me. I'm a Jack Time Millionaire.
Great lyrics, and perfectly. It's good that it's not just I'm a Jag that we eventually add the second half to it. I did manage to get about a minute of that up on Facebook, along with a link to Raymond's Facebook page, so you will be able to follow him with the handle Jag Time Millionaire
on
all the various social medias and places.
Yeah, they kind of feed each other. It's, if I had to follow every single thing, if I had to do something separate for every single thing, I'd probably go crazy.
No, so, it's gotten really complicated.
Because I have to do the store too and everything, and it's every time I go into Instagram or something, they're like, who do you want to be? And I've accidentally posted my stuff to the store and vice versa before.
Yeah, so. I've done things. It's hard to keep it all straight. You must play, I would imagine you play a few hours every day at least.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No? No? I'm surprised.
I play as much as I can. And then sometimes I'll turn around and just be like, I didn't play guitar today. And did I play guitar yesterday? So when I have a project coming up, I kind of have to like tour, or I'm doing some recording in May. So when I have a project coming up, I try to be really way more disciplined and try to play as much as I can, because the stuff's kind of demanding physically, but it's really more demanding mentally. Like, there's so many parts to every song, and it's a brain fart is just a very possible thing at any given time. So
yeah, and you're playing, I think, without music.
Yes,
in front of you.
No, I don't read music, so it wouldn't help me too much. I've thought about charting everything out, so like even if I want to play with other people or whatever, it's all there ready to go. But because all the voices are so kind of intertwined with the basses and things, it's, if I just look over and see that I'm supposed to be playing a G, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good.
Do you, is it muscle memory as well as mental energy, or I don't know if I'm expressing that.
No, it's exactly right. It's exactly how I would say it. It's reps And just like any like kind of difficult instrumental thing, you got to start slow and build up and then try not to over, like try not to get on a roll to where the tempo goes all over the place or whatever. Which is, you know, on the other hand, is part of why, part of the way I express it on the guitar is being able to not be metronomic time like Scott Joplin would say, you know, ragtime is supposed to be, you know, faithful time to whatever the tempo was on the sheet music or whatever. And I was like, well, thank goodness I don't have to do that.
So. Yeah, you're not a player piano.
No.
Are you writing much of your own at all?
A little bit. The standard for a real rag is kind of really high, and it's kind of an elusive thing to get something in that spirit that sounds original and isn't just really a recycled version of something else.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from out there.
Yeah, so I've done some, and actually the next song I was going to play is an original that has a kind of a cool story behind it. You and your listeners certainly know Ernie Hawkins.
Quite well.
Yeah. So a few years ago, Ernie and I got a hot tip from somebody about a grant from the Arts Council, the State Art Council. And it was kind of a master apprentice thing where basically we'd come up with a concept and then we'd both submit kind of an essay in the application of what we were going to do. And the concept was, with his guidance, and I was taking regular kind of lessons with him at the time, with his guidance, I would write an original rag, you know, and try to incorporate some of the things he was teaching me about Reverend Gary Davis and stuff like that. So I did. I wrote an original song that he developed a second section for, like a kind of a parallel part. And but it works just fine on its own, too. But it was kind of with his guidance. He kind of said, oh, you might want to change this kind of chord to be a little more faithful to rag and all this kind of. And it really didn't end up being a proper rag. It ended up being something like a cowboy song. But it's structured like a rag, you know, four distinct sections. The trio goes to a minor, you know, kind of, it's got some Reverend Gary Davis kind of a two-finger kind of picking and stuff like that.
So it's a bit of a folk process.
It's a bit of a hodgepodge of a bunch of stuff that came out of just us working together and me trying to express an original idea. And yeah, and I can play for you if you like.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Does it have a name?
Yeah, it's called The Blue Bungalow.
The Blue Bungalow.
Yeah.
Here again, Jagtime Millionaire.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ragtime Millionaire Raymond, that is a great tune.
Thank you.
And I can see it's the player, not the guitar, but those downstrokes and the richness of sound coming out of that body is really something I can see.
It's a good guitar. We talked about it a little last time I was here. I think you said you kind of thought I'd walk in with a nylon guitar.
Yeah.
It's kind of a style that you kind of consider more of a classical track kind of style. But no, steel string is just what all my heroes played it on, except for Duck Baker, who is a beast.
Yeah, he sure is.
Nylon guy, but he plays it on anything great.
You've got a good memory.
Yeah. But I'm having a guitar built right now by a local builder named Chuck Bellino, who's a fantastic, fantastic builder. And I've been a big fan for about a decade, been carrying his guitars at the store. And finally, he makes a guitar based on a 1800s Martin shape called a size 2. It's quite a bit smaller than this guitar.
Almost like a parlor?
Yeah, it's a parlor. Yeah. Exactly. And the last one that he brought us last year was the best one I'd ever heard. And I just said, oh my God. I'm finally, because this guy's in his prime, you know, he's at the peak of his powers. I had been saving this set of Brazilian rosewood for about a decade for a personal build. And I was like, I'll make myself something or I'll just have it. And then I said, okay, Chuck, would you make me a guitar? Because he doesn't do commissions at all. He just builds whatever he wants. He brings it in. We, you know, we take care of him. But he was like, yeah, for you.
Where do you find the wood?
This set came from California. A guy bought it in the 60s thinking that he was going to become a guitar builder. And instead, he ended up making bespoke pool cues. That ended up being his thing, was getting on the lathe and making like fancy exotic wood pool cues for people.
It's an interesting pivot, but
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, eight, 10 years ago, we just saw on the forums, Chuck Bellino saw it as well, that this guy's like, hey, I never ended up becoming a guitar builder, but I bought all this wood and it's all old growth Brazilian rosewood from the 60s and all this kind of stuff, kind of before the CITES restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I bought a set. Chuck bought a few sets. I heard a few of the ones he built with it, but I still was sitting on mine forever. And then finally decided to go for it. And it's going to be done like any time.
So
I'm really excited. But it's going to be my whole point is going to be a kind of a very different experience. And it's going to be interesting to hear which ones sound the best on either.
Do you think he'll tour with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, every instrument has to be a working instrument.
Is there much I didn't get a chance to look, but if people go to Bandcamp, are there songs people can purchase, download?
Yeah, pay what you want, so you can download it and not pay anything, and that's fine with me. I made some kind of just casual recordings a few years ago of mostly Joplin rags and a couple novelty songs. And so something like that original that I just played isn't up there yet. We're going to record that in a couple months. But yeah, the Bandcamp page has a lot of my recorded output, but then I've got a YouTube channel that has some video performances of stuff if anybody's interested in like seeing the fingers and stuff.
Oh, cool. So if you go to Jagtime Millionaire, you'll find it. We have time for one or two more, or if you go to jagtimemillionaire.com or just search on Jagtime Millionaire, all the ways of finding you. Time for one or two more.
Maybe I'll do a kind of a abbreviated Weeping Willow. I'll see if I don't completely fog up on it, which has happened. But yeah, see how it goes. Thank you.
Jagtime Millionaire.
Thank you.
That was absolutely terrific. Anything else you wanted to mention that maybe we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Sure. That song was Scott Joplin's Weeping Willow. That was half of it. The other half would put it at, whatever, 6.5 minutes or something.
Wow.
But that song, if you guys like it and you like the sound of it on guitar, it's been recorded by at least two Pittsburgh guitarists that I know of, Ernie Hawkins on Ragtime Signatures, and Daryl Leroy Fleming from The Public Domain.
Huh.
Back on his, I think, Fable of the Bees album, he has a version of it, which I had completely forgotten about until I dug out that CD about a month ago when I was playing it through, because I always loved Daryl's mind and his playing. And right toward the end of the record, there's Weeping Willow. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear he did that. I had no idea.
I was surprised that I didn't catch it the first time around, because I used to listen to that record a lot.
I wanted to acknowledge you. I did so earlier this morning, but the death of Paul Jeremiah this past week, who was just a great acoustic blues player. He'll be remembered for a long time. He's been sick for a while, so it wasn't that much of a surprise, but still.
Roy Bookbinder just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, John Hammond, Roy Bookbinder.
Woody Mann about a year ago.
Yeah, Paul Jeremiah. Yeah. It's we're losing these guys.
Yeah, the guys who studied with Gary Davis, like at the foot of Gary Davis, are almost all gone. Ernie's still with us, and Jorma Kaukonen and Stefan Grossman, and I hope they stick around for a really long time, because it's that tradition's got to continue to pass along. Ernie taught me a bunch of Reverend Gary Davis stuff's, a lot of it, of which I've forgotten now. But it's, you know, he's still the master of that stuff, and he's right here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. JagtimeMillionaire.com, or just search on Jagtime Millionaire. You'll get the right hits coming up. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Brandon,
Thanks again,
for
Larry.
Being with us.